Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
As we get ready for game four of the NBA Finals, as we look to try and see which of the Bucks can possibly step up to help Giannis, or if Devin Booker can get his way back into this series and give the Suns a big-time lead. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio with Mike Golic Jr. and Jason Fitz filling in for Janae Agwimakake, normally the co-host of Spain and Fitz here on ESPN Radio from 7 to 9 Eastern. I do have to ask, Jason, before we can get to that, I'm sure you heard that intro coming back there with Janae talking about wearing a $2,800 jacket from a stylist that was taken back after. It was like one of those situations where you wear borrowed it. Jason, would that be the most uncomfortable time period of your life wearing something that expensive?
Oh, my God. So, you know, we did have to do that sometimes when we played like award shows and somebody would come in and dress you in things. And I'm telling you, the entire time, I'm so nervous because not only am I cheap, but I also eat like a child. So I spill things on myself all the time. I mean, I was nervous when we did the hot dog eating contest about the fact that I had to have the polo on early because I just know that I'm going to spill on myself. Like a $2,800, you're talking to somebody that has like a Funko in my Amazon cart that I've had there for like 3 weeks because it's $20 and I'm not really sure I'm prepared to make that kind of commitment to a toy. So $2,800, I would not go anywhere.
Jason Fitz is notoriously frugal to the point where he mentioned that hot dog contest, and I said this after. Jason offered to buy me breakfast at the hot dog contest. We had, as grown adults in our 30s and 40s, hot dogs at 9:30 in the morning for breakfast. And we got up to the checkout, and it was inside Maimonides Park where the Brooklyn Cyclones play. That was where they were having the contest. And so it was ballpark prices. We had each a hot dog, a Gatorade, and fries, and it was something like $37, $38. And Jason, I saw you start visibly sweating. You had offered to pay. You couldn't go back on that, but I know in your heart you didn't want to.
Oh, the whole time I was thinking, don't flinch, Mike's looking. Don't flinch, Mike's looking. And then after you pay for it, I'm like, savor the, I look over, you wait years in like 8 seconds. I'm like, man, if this is $16 worth of hot dog and fries for me right here, I'm going to savor every bite like it's the last bite I'll ever eat. Yeah, I was shook by that. Shooketh.
I can say, that one rattled Jason to his core. So we won't be dressing up nearly that nice around here because quite frankly, we don't deserve clothes that nice.
Yeah, Rankings Reaction will never have you and I in a $2,800 jacket. I can assure you.
You don't want to get Cheez-It dust on a $2,800 jacket, Jason. That is not how you return it to the sender.
So guys, it was on there when we got it. I don't know how.
You guys gave it to me like this year. Don't come to me trying to hassle me just because I like to have a good time. Now, Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So let's look ahead to the NBA Finals and away from Cheez-It dust in this scenario because, Jason, we talked so much about this series. Giannis has seemed like the one constant so far. For either team, really, I think you could say Giannis has been the most dependable player through three games. So, Jason, if I had to ask you to look around tonight, I'll even give you both teams. If you had a player that you were most comfortable putting your chips in tonight, putting your hard and money, which we just established is something you don't part with very readily here, which player would you put it on?
I'm putting money on Middleton because he's at home. Like I know that's oversimplification, but Chris Middleton at home can take over games. To me, when we looked at the first two games and everything that was wrong with Milwaukee, the oversimplified, hey, it'll fix itself at home, really turned out to be true. I mean, I think Middleton has every opportunity to take this game over. That being said, I think we are going to get a big effort from DeAndre Ayton for the Suns tonight. And I'll keep going back to Monty Williams and the way he was coaching him in that, you know, play the game with force, impact the game with force. You know, when you've got a young team and any young player that's coming off of regrettable performances, I think Booker and Ayton are both going to be lights out. So that means Middleton has to be great for Milwaukee to have a chance at winning this game.
I'm with you, Jason. Chris Middleton is the one that's most interesting because when this team operates at peak efficiency, it is Giannis dominating through the first three quarters and then in the waning moments of a close game. Because I can tell you one thing, I expect this to be a much more tightly contested game. Like, this isn't going to be no 20-point blowout one way or the other tonight because I believe if I had to bet on one player, if I had to say one guy was going to step up and ball out tonight, I'm going with Devin Booker here. Like, we've seen, for this entire postseason, really, game three for the Suns in the postseason has always been the first road game of the series because they were the two seed. every time we've had a game three for Devin Booker, he's been just over 10 points per game worse than his average for the rest of the series. And so I look at him, Jason, as so valuable because he's the guy that stops runs for the other team. And so coming off of game three, where we heard Monty Williams say on the NBA on ESPN Radio, man, I put him and Chris Paul in some bad spots. He was holding his hand up as accountable. That seems like the ideal scenario for a guy to walk into this game, not only confident in his ability, but motivated to go ahead and silence that road crowd in a spot where we've seen him step up throughout the rest of this series.
Everything you just said makes so much sense, and it's part of the reason I feel like we've gotten a lot of belief in Booker over the course of this playoff run because of his ability to step up when he needs to, right? Like, that's the definition of what's really gotten both of these teams to where we are. You know, as much as we talked about injuries and how other teams being depleted was part of the story of this playoff, I think we also have to look at the story of the playoff on who's been consistently able to step up. And so I don't disagree with you that, you know, Booker, and as I said earlier, I feel like the legend just continues to grow and grow and grow. I'll go back, though. I mean, DeAndre Ayton was so bad in the last game compared to where he has been, and he's also had game three performances that have been an issue. So it's like for this young Suns team, adjusting to playing on the road seems to be a difficulty. And, you know, credit to Monty Williams in his ability to look back at it, see what they need to do different and bring him into different ways. But I feel like Ayton is the one that's supposed to really come in, play more minutes, score more points, really come out and be more impactful in this game than he was. And he's going to have to be if they want any shot at, you know, production of slowing down what Middleton and Giannis are going to be able to do.
I'm glad you brought up the word adjustment, Jason, because that has been the number one thing. And you are Jason Fitz, noted Mike Budenholzer defender on this show, on almost every other platform that you get here. But adjustment is probably been, if we were to word cloud things mentioned alongside Coach Bud during this postseason run, it's been adjustment, or in a lot of people's indictments, a lack of ability to adjust. So he joined the NBA on ESPN radio crew, Milwaukee's head coach, and talked about just that. Are there adjustments being made for game four?
You know, I would say it's more the same game plan, you know, maybe some subtle things around the edge, but I think the communication, the effort, you know, kind of just the commitment to it. You know, there's some things we do just night in, night out, that, you know, go to being a good defensive team, you know, getting back in transition. That's not a game plan. You just got to do it. You know, keeping people out the free throw line, it's not a game plan. You got to do it. And then, you know, there are some smaller things that hopefully we can get better and improve as we move forward. But, you know, I think it's more the subtle and just – the commitment, the effort, the communication, all those things are, you know, we're high level the other day and we got to do it again and really do it even at a higher level going into the fourth game.
Jason, I don't speak fluent Budenholzer, but that sounds like coach speak for, man, I really hope they call those fouls for Giannis the same way again.
I mean, okay, so you're a man that loves and respects food and the art of food. So I'm going to go to a food analogy here. There are certain restaurants that when they open up, you know, they'll take all these different types of identities. They may have different courses or different tasting menus depending on who the chef is, right? But then you've got your traditional old school New York steakhouse. And the old school New York steakhouse isn't going to do anything that hasn't already been done. Their belief is going to be, we're going to execute it so stinking well that you will continually come back to this particular old school New York steakhouse because you know you will consistently get greatness in simple execution. Sometimes I feel like that's Budenholzer's take on everything, is we don't need to make a bunch of adjustments. We just need to properly execute what we do. And as long as we do that, nobody can beat us. It's endearing in football. It's endearing in restaurants, in the NBA, and in playoff series particularly. It's questionable at times. I will fully admit that. But when it works, and it works at home, it works incredibly well for him.
Well, and when your star player goes out and works the way that he has, it makes life that much easier for everybody. And so maybe the adjustments will look more subtle, but we can get some idea of what they might look like here. Chenang Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We'll see if there's anything Milwaukee needs to change after a win in Game 3. Or if it's all really just as simple as what does Devin Booker do coming back and bouncing back for the Suns? We'll do that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Loads toward the basket and stuffs with two hands. They can't stop Giannis tonight.
And goes for 41 points, his second straight 40-point finals
game. I'm not Michael Jordan. You know, all I care about right now is getting one more. That's all.
The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight, Game 4, as the Bucks host the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. It's Chené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz filling in for Chené. And you're hearing Jump Around. That can only mean one thing. ESPN NBA analyst John Barry is with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. What's going on, John?
Well, I wish I could jump back in the day, but that wasn't the case. My brother got all the hops in the family, but I appreciate the Jump Around.
Hey, listen,
I mean,
you know what?
What do you have to do to get like a walk-up song? That's a real thing. Like, because I don't have a walk. I feel like I've been on the show a few times. I don't have a signature song, Mike. Like, what?
Listen, he's John Barry, and you're Jason Fitz. I don't know what more I need to say to you, Jason. So, and for what it's worth, John, I can't jump either. So we're in the same category there. No hops here, but thankfully we don't need him to talk about this game going on tonight. So we'll try and put the rest of this to work, JB. As you look and get ready for Game 4 tonight, it's felt like we've had a week in between these Games 3 and Game 4 here. So as you've talked to these coaching staffs, talked to these teams, and gotten ready for this game here, what's been the biggest takeaway during this break leading up to Game 4 for you?
Well, obviously, something has to happen with Giannis. Phoenix has got to come up with some sort of answer. I think we're going to see some different ways to play him tonight. He's been obviously spectacular. You know, game one, just trying to get his footing back, basically wasn't nearly as aggressive as he was in the following games. And he's obviously a handful for anyone. But again, I think some different things dealing with him. And, you know, to me, Phoenix, just in Game 3, they didn't match the intensity and the desperation of Milwaukee. They were a step slow. They were the reactors. And they got soundly beat. So it's funny how these series go, though. It's like, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, Milwaukee, they're not going to lose another game. Well, they're down 2-1, so let's relax. I think Phoenix will bounce back tonight, and they will be mentally more prepared in Game 4 than they were in Game 3.
It feels like it's impossible at this point to talk about any playoff game without having a conversation about officiating. It's constant right now. But give me your sort of your thoughts on how the officials have done so far, and if you expect any change in the way tonight's game's called.
Well, look, the aggressive teams get calls, and that's nothing new. I don't think they've been a factor. Obviously, DeAndre Ayton got his fourth foul early in that third quarter in Game 3. That changed things. He was terrific early in the ball game. But, you know, a foul's a foul. I don't think the officiating had anything to do with that game. Again, if you're more aggressive, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt calls. Milwaukee far more aggressive, and that's why things have changed since Game 1 when Phoenix had 26 free throws. I know Giannis took more free throws than Phoenix in Game 3. That obviously doesn't look good. But again, Phoenix has to be more aggressive. I thought they settled. They didn't move the ball as much as they had in the past. They settled for contested jump shots, particularly Devin Booker, and they paid the price.
Yeah, JB, what do the Suns do to get Devin Booker going again tonight? Really off Game 3, which has kind of been a trend through the postseason for him. So what do you think they do to jumpstart him tonight?
Well, you know, Mike, other than the second half of Game 2, he's not played great. And you look at his numbers, since he broke his nose, he's shooting 35% from the field. He's been a different player. He's obviously unbelievable early on in the playoffs. It's not gone well. I credit Milwaukee a lot, particularly in Game 4, 3. I mean, they got after him. All of his looks were contested. As a matter of fact, Milwaukee outscored Phoenix in that first half 34-5 on uncontested field goals. So they were getting after it defensively. Devin Booker, again, don't settle for threes. Don't settle for the contested mid-range twos. Maybe get to the rim. You don't see him get to the rim very often. So maybe get to the rim, get to the free throw line, find some momentum that way, and maybe he gets going.
John, something that Mike and I have talked about throughout the course of the last couple hours is the inconsistency at times for Middleton and Holiday. So what is it that makes them so much better specifically at home than away?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, typically everybody says the role players are the ones that play better at home. They're great players, and their home road splits have been a little bit off, particularly Holiday. He finally got going in that third quarter. He made four threes, But, you know, talking to Monty Williams, they'll take their chances with Jrue Holiday taking, you know, pull-up three-point shots. That's not really his strength. He did knock some down. You know, and Middleton, man, he had two games against Atlanta. He was 0 for 16 from three. And then he had those explosive quarters where he got 20 and a quarter and 23 and a quarter. So he's always capable of getting going. So, again, you know, I call the Milwaukee Bucks a box of chocolates, and actually I've changed it to a bucks of chocolates. Because you really don't you don't know what you're going to get. And, look, they were terrific in Game 3. Let's see if they can back up that performance here in Game 4 and make it a series, because obviously if they go down 3-1, they're going to be in big trouble.
Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz here on Chenea and Golic Jr. We're talking to John Barry, our ESPN NBA analyst, ahead of Game 4 tonight in the NBA Finals. JB, someone else we mentioned in passing was DeAndre Ayton, his importance to this entire postseason run. Saw the foul trouble really kind of take him out of Game 3 in a big way here. Is there anything Monty Williams and this team can do differently for him? Is that going to be a self-control thing?
Yeah, no, he's just got to be smarter. You know, the foul he picked up with 10:20 to go in the third was a touch foul where Giannis was going to be able to get a dunk. You know, 2 points with 10:20 to go in the third is not going to kill you. You know, you got to be smart enough to just stay away. You can't pick up you can't pick up silly fouls. He's been terrific, and he was great in Game 3 to start. I believe he started 6 for 7. He had 12 points in that first quarter. Milwaukee's had a problem when they switched the pick and roll with him and Chris Paul. He's rolled right to the rim and taken advantage of smaller players. He needs to be out there, and actually, he's done the best job on Giannis. He guards Giannis to start ball games, and you know, obviously, sags off of Giannis, gives up the jump shot, but he's done an admirable job on Giannis. So they need him on both ends of the floor. He's got to be out there.
Awesome stuff from John Barry, our ESPN NBA analyst. Make sure you guys tune in. Coverage of Game 4 of the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. Bucks hosting the Suns, presented by Indeed. Starts at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on most ESPN radio stations. JB, have a great one tonight. We're looking forward to the game.
Thanks, brother.
Okay, guys. Be well.
Awesome stuff from John Barry, our NBA analyst there. And Fitzy, it's going to be interesting, too. What we've talked about so much through this postseason has been the effect of these home crowds. And we saw the home arena for Milwaukee rocking. We saw the Deer District, all these things. And he mentioned it, the role players. That's what I'm interested to see the more and more we look at all this. We know the boom or bust that's been there with Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. But can you keep guys like Pat Connaughton as locked in as he's been? Can Brooke Lopez start to contribute a bit more offensively? There's been so much about his game that's waxed and waned through this postseason. And we've seen how important this is going to be, because if you go back on the other side, all of a sudden, back in Phoenix, Jay Crowder, Cam Johnson, all these guys tend to just have the ability to go off once you get back to the Valley.
I've got a group thread that between some friends, some happen to be rooting for different teams, and Pat Connaughton's name comes in all caps every time he has a good game, and I can look back at it and see how inconsistent that is, as everybody wants to yell, and you're 1,000% right. I think, you know, JB made a smart point too, because this is as back up against the wall as you can get. You can't go back to Phoenix down 3-1, right? So those are the guys that are going to have to come out. And the thing that will constantly bother me about all of this is we keep talking about the energy. You can feel the energy in the first 3 or 4 minutes. Who's bringing more of it? I don't know why that's been such a hard thing for teams to do night in and night out in these playoffs, but it feels like the team that brings it the most from the outset wins the game, and that's what I'm looking for Milwaukee to do tonight.
Yeah, it's going to have to be that tone set early, because that's the one thing we saw is Monty Williams and the Suns ended up making a business decision by halftime, especially with Devin Booker. JB pointed out the shooting woes since he broke his nose. So how does that hold? Can you continue to, no pun in, you know, really intended here, but punch him in the mouth on this one and try and make him think twice about what they can do in that arena? Coming up next, though, as we get ready for Game 4, we'll also take a look at one of the biggest stars in the NBA whose impending potential free agency could be a story of the offseason we haven't talked nearly enough about. Next, you're on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz in for Chenea Igwumike today. You can catch him, co-host of Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 Eastern, on ESPN Radio. And I want to get to what Kawhi Leonard's ACL surgery does for this NBA offseason, because we've kind of talked about this. It's been a real underlying headline for a long time because we had the NBA postseason still going on. But as we near the close, we got to start looking out here because one of the best players in the league could be on the move. But Jason, you and I spend so much time covering college football. I was a little surprised by this tweet. And I don't know why, but it was just something I hadn't thought of relative to this upcoming season as we continue to look at the effects of COVID-19 on the world of sports. This is a tweet from Kellis Robinette, who's a K-State beat writer. It said, an interesting COVID note from Kansas State Athletic Director Gene Taylor, that the Big 12 is not expected to allow teams to postpone or cancel games for any reason this season. If a team loses a bunch of guys to COVID and can't play, that team would have to forfeit. And Jason, you and I both watched last season as teams and leagues in tight windows sometimes, especially for the Big 10 and the Pac-12 that got a late start, tried to shuffle the deck on their season. And this seems to be a clear message yet again for everyone involved in the college football process that the vaccine is something they are trying to readily incentivize here to make sure this season goes off without disruption.
Yeah, because I would expect that, Mike, well, at some point we'll hear what the process is going to be for anybody that's vaccinated or not vaccinated, how it will look depending on their close contacts, everything that we've become used to. And we have to remember that, you know, for example, the NFL's already given us a pretty strict letter of regulations that are different for people that have been vaccinated and people that haven't. I'd expect college football to do the same. And so this becomes part of the real conversation that's going to be happening about what's expected. I mean, if you're Jim Harbaugh, you're looking at your team and saying, look, this is what you have to do if you want to be eligible to play here, because you don't want to take the chance that you go into a game against Ohio State without, you know, one of your key stars being available because of even contact tracing if they haven't been vaccinated. So this is just the first in what's several steps of detail that we're going to have to get from college football that will change the way the landscape looks this fall.
It's going to be fascinating because there's going to be so many differences. We talk about the professional leagues where we hear all the time, what percentage of X team is vaccinated? What percentage of that league is vaccinated? We have an easier time keeping track of this stuff because there's clear rules. We saw in college sports last year, especially football was the prime example, this, a lot of it was drawn up in the dirt. There was a lot of secrecy around it, people hiding behind HIPAA stuff to try and cloud this, coaches being murky with the information that was given out to the public, Jason. So all this, I think, is only going to make it more confusing because we know some places, I saw Notre Dame today put out the announcement that any media members covering the team in person this year will be required to be fully vaccinated. So you know this college, it's such a different ball of wax because every place, every conference, every school is so different that I'm sure we're in for another year of very inconsistent rules on this front.
Which is something, you know, the college football landscape should, but never does, learn from its own mistakes from last year, right? Like, they had the opportunity to all kumbaya together and figure out one process, and they simply didn't. And then it became a little bit of the wild, wild west. So as we get through what this fall looks like, it'll be interesting to see if the conferences across the landscape have any more or less interest in working together to have some level of normalcy. I'm guessing they won't, but it's going to create these issues where suddenly there might be different standards for Pac-12 players than there are for SEC players, and how everybody deals with that's just going to be part of the way that we process the season.
Be a great time for the NCAA to step in.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
Chinan Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Jason Fitz. That'll be a cold day in hell. Jason, here on Earth, though, we got Kawhi Leonard's knee to contend with right now. Did you like that one?
That was well done. I appreciate that. That was well done.
Every once in a while, the kid gets it done here. But we talked to Kevin Pelton, our ESPN writer, who's got a great article on .com right now, about Kawhi Leonard's ACL surgery and what it does to this offseason. And Jason, I said before, if we were dealing with a normal player, I would expect all of this around this case here. Kawhi Leonard having surgery on a partially torn ACL that could put him out anywhere from 6 to 9 months. Kawhi Leonard having a player option that he could exercise going into this following year. All of these things for a player that's going to be on the other side of 30 this season would lead me to say, you know what, you'd probably take the security of going back to a place that you know wants you and is incentivized to keep you. But this is also Kawhi Leonard, so I stopped trying to predict what's in this man's mind a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really strange situation because Kawhi is really in a spot where he can look around and figure out what he wants to do. for the Clippers, it feels like, you know, to use the poker concept, they're really pot committed, right? Like, at this point, I'm not sure the Clippers have any option other than doing whatever Kawhi wants, however Kawhi wants, because otherwise they'd have to admit this entire thing was a bust, it didn't work out, and then they're going to have to find another path to try and surpass the Lakers in any sort of a way moving forward. That's not easy. So while I don't know that they have the necessary path in front of them, even if Kawhi's healthy, they don't really have any other options. So it feels like they're dug in, and that doesn't mean they love Kawhi more than Kawhi loves them at this point in this relationship, because he still has options and they don't.
Well, and we've seen Kevin Durant kind of set the precedence, right? Catastrophic injury that still landed a monster max contract on the other side. So this isn't something that's out of the realm of possibility here. But Jason, do you think the performance from Paul George gave anybody pause in addressing what you just described there? Because I'm with you. I think Steve Ballmer, for a lot of the reasons, just, you know, power scheming inside that city, not wanting to get left behind by the Lakers and all this, might look at this situation and say, yeah, let's just get Kawhi Leonard back here. We're hoarding in the arms race. But from a basketball sense, do you think anyone, like, I know we used to joke that trusting Paul George wouldn't be for the faint of heart, but after this postseason, I got to imagine he's put a fair amount of coin in the jar as far as people's confidence in what he can do when he's got the space to be the main guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, Mike. I mean, you've got to look at Paul George and say, okay, with what we saw from him in that, do we believe he can get that for an entire season? I don't see why not, right? So maybe the answer is to presume that Paul George is going to be your number one and then look for another 1A. But that's also not going to be easy to find in this market. And now you're going to have to convince somebody that with Paul George as the one, they can turn around as the star. They can turn around and eclipse AD and LeBron. That just feels like a difficult sales job. You're right. He's done a lot to prove that he's capable of that. I just don't know that I feel great about the sales pitch of we can be the champions with Paul George as the number one and not much else help around him.
Well, Paul George is the number one, and whatever money you would save without Kawhi Leonard being a four-year max guy on your roster, I think it would cost them just north of $170 million over that 4 years. I think that's honestly the perspective we've got to start considering more in this is there a basketball way for the Clippers to find their way into something different? Like, I love the idea, Jason, of Kawhi Leonard just becoming the Darrell Revis of the NBA, this hired mercenary that just goes to different spots, balls out, and puts you near championship contention. I feel like, more again, all the surrounding parts of this make me think, yeah, Kawhi ends up back in with the Clippers. Hell, I could even see him signing that max extension to stay with the Clippers in this, but he's just such a wild card. I can never fully feel like I've got my finger on this.
Yeah, and there's also, quickly, Mike, there's a spot, too, where you just got to look at Kawhi and say, even if he signs, what does that really mean today, right? Like, you're absolutely right. He can just sign, figure it out, and then affect his own destiny and go where he wants to go to try and get another championship.
Yep. Like I say, can opt back in with that player option is largely, I think, going to miss depending on when he gets cleared. Again, we've seen someone like Spencer Dinwiddie that had a lesser tear of his ACL come back and get cleared in 6 months. We've seen it take 9 months for other guys. So how does that timetable affect the decision-making? We will keep our eye on that. But coming up next, one of the biggest stars in the world just decided to take a pay cut. Thoughts and prayers will be accepted. Next, you're on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It might not be Friday, but Lord Jesus, when this song cuts on, you can make it feel that way for a minute. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Oh, it's a damn shame the Plus crowd can't listen to that when we have it on.
I know, man. The Plus, you know what, ESPN Plus, the podcast audience, wherever you are, when this cuts on, when you get to this part of the podcast, just do yourself a favor. Go head over to whatever music streaming service you use, look up the City Girls, and just make sure you let everyone around you know it's time for the Twerculator. It's time for the Twerculator. You can shake what your mama gave
you. That video is not safe for work, by the way.
Yeah, no, do not look that up on a work computer. Mike Golic Jr., Jason Fitz here, who, Jason, I can only imagine as you join us from Nashville right now that you are indeed showing everyone in your direct area that it's time for the Twerculator.
Look, I got a little shake and wiggle, as you well know. Like, I've never met a chair I couldn't wiggle around in. But, you know, I would implore everybody just to put their favorite jam on, Mike, whatever it might be. And, you know, maybe they want to have a little handsome.
All right, thanks for playing on.
Yeah, no, whatever people want. Jason, yeah, quit being a nerd right here. Choice? Do what you want? It's time for the Twerculator, Jason. Were you locked in for 1 second?
What exactly is the twerkulator? I mean,
were you not listening to the
words? I was about to say, watch
the
video on a non-work computer, you'll find out what the twerkulator is.
Like, cannot stress
when I leave, going to be like, hey, Mike, twerkulator. No.
Oh, Cliff.
That's my goal, to ruin this song for you. Like, God. Instead of using coffee to use my percolator, do I use my twerkulator for that?
I don't think coffee comes out of that thing. Yeah. Go ahead and do it to him.
I like my job, so I'm done. I'm done.
Don't forget to tune in to the Chinay podcast, hosted by our very own Chinay Agumake and fueled by Gatorade. We appreciate their continued support of women's sports journalists and athletes here at ESPN and everywhere. Whatever path you take to greatness, Gatorade is here to fuel it. Greatness starts with a G. How about that? Great stuff. Starting with a G around here. Let's not give Jason time to ruin everything here. We're twerkulating. Let's keep that same energy. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Jhené and Golic Jr.
All right, Jason, keeping that same energy here after the sky cracked and fell all over us, Team USA found a way to rebound from back-to-back losses. They blow out Argentina. Are we officially back to just remembering that we're good at basketball and everything's okay?
Yeah, I'm not worried about this at all. Remember, the NBA players have been showing us for years they know when to press the turbo button and know when to conserve energy. They're just conserving energy as they go through all of this. They'll be just fine when they get to the Olympics, and nobody will remember these losses then.
Yeah, there are legitimate flaws to this basketball team, especially inside, but like, they haven't had time to practice or do anything going up against teams with great relationships with one another. I think we're all going to be fine on this one. I think we're all going to be able to calm the hell down. Keeping that same energy, though, Jason. How about this? The Chicago Sky's Candace Parker becomes the first woman ever to be on a cover of NBA 2K. I know you and I have varying degrees of involvement in video games, but, man, we've all dreamed at one point or another about being on the cover of anything here. Pretty awesome moment here for Candace Parker, who's been a goat for a while.
Yeah, I think this is incredible. Love 2K, by the way. And my only regret is that they could have done a full Spain and Fitz cover and put, you know, Candace on one side and then, like, maybe Asia Wilson from the Vegas Aces on the other, representing both Sarah's team and my squad, as a result, giving Spain and Fitz all the love for the video game. Spain and Fitz, by the way, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
My God. Shameless plugs never end here. Here's a plug that we are proud of and are reminding you that the WNBA All-Star Game is going to be starting at 7 o'clock Eastern. Right when you get done listening to us, tune over to ESPN. Check out the WNBA All-Star. You've got the WNBA All-Stars versus Team USA. A nice kickoff and send-off as we get ready for the Tokyo Games. But keeping that same energy, Jason, we need you to lift up Lionel Messi in prayer right now. Everything's fine with him. Him and Barcelona have actually reached an agreement for the forward to sign a new 5-year deal with the club. Sources have confirmed to ESPN. But Jason, sources also added that Messi has accepted a significant wage reduction to prolong his stay. Remember, his previous contract was worth over $594 million over 4 years. So hopefully he'll be able to weather this storm, Jason. God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers.
I'm just using the name Lionel to remind everybody that Lionel Richie's worth about $200 million. So, you know, there's another famous Lionel for you. I just had to tell you that, Mike.
Parents out there, if you're thinking, you want to set your kid up for success, Lionel seems like a pretty good name.
There we go.
My God. Jason Fitz giving you the hard-hitting journalism that others might be afraid to do, but Jason Fitz and the Twerkulator, not afraid to give you what you need here to finish out a Wednesday here. Didn't realize, by the way, are we still making Lionels? Wow. I don't know, but we're still making Twerkulators here. And so even though Jason Fitz is a hater, you can stick around on ESPN Radio. Tune in for him and Sarah Spain, taking you guys all the way up to coverage of Game 4 of the NBA Finals
Twerkulator,
on ESPN
Mike.
Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.